World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
I want to talk to you today about tough love. Tough love. Years ago, I remember a Christian psychologist wrote a book to Christians because he just couldn't believe the mamby-pamby way they were raising their kids. And he did an entire book, I believe it was Dr. Dobson, was called Tough Love. That somehow we think that love is weak, that love is permissive, that love does nothing, that love doesn't want to offend, and he began to teach to parents how to raise kids who are not just walking in love, but they're tough and they're strong, warrior princesses, men who'll stand up for God. And I was just thinking about that as I was preparing some of the thoughts I want to share today. You see, I'm a preacher's kid. And I go against the statistics. If anybody who's raised in church knows, the preacher's kids were usually the worst. The preacher's kids were the ones who gave up all hope because they saw what was going on behind the scenes of every church. And I was so turned off, not by my parents who were pastors, they're amazing, but by what people thought church was. The biggest thing for me was, I am not interested in trying to lead a bunch of ooey-gooey, mamby-pamby, dippity-doo Christians who think walking in love is doing nothing but praying and hoping while the big bad world slaps us silly off our seats. And there was just no way I wanted to lead that. And then God began to take me on a journey through the Word. He began to show me what a child of God, a follower of Christ, should look like. He gave me a new look at Jesus. He showed me that God hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New. We have. His covenants have, but God hasn't changed. And so I want to talk about this today. I want to prepare you for the future because you will never fulfill the passions and the dreams inside your heart if you're going to listen to the religious people. Oh, they'll judge you because your shirt's too open, your dress is too short, your car's too expensive. Like, religion just judges everybody. Jesus would often say, I don't judge you. Just go, sin no more. He walked in such value for people. And so I begin to dive into the Word. I've been preaching now for 40 years more from the pulpits. And I had a chance to get into the Word and say, God, I had a chance to teach the Word to people and then see the impact on their family, their finances, their marriages, their kids, then their grandkids. I've had an opportunity to see generations rise up in our church. And I know that when you get a hold of the Word of God and really fall in love with this Jesus, that life is not what religion has shown us. You see, so many of us think that love is this, don't disturb people. Just don't confront people. Just, walk in love. And to them, love means do nothing. Don't confront anything. Don't disagree with leadership. Tell that to John the Baptist who got into King Herod's face and told him. Tell that to the Apostle Paul who spoke to leader after leader and governments and shared with them. Like, the Church of Jesus Christ was not designed to be this pathetic little group of people with their tents wandering through life, haggardly hoping that everything goes good till we die and finally have a great home in heaven one day. It just, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible doesn't teach things like we are to be non-confrontational. We are to be non-violent. Really, tell that to Jesus, who went with a whip through the temple, kicked over the tables because they were ripping people off who would come to Jerusalem and couldn't have a sacrifice. And so they way upcharged them and were just raking money from them. Just take a look at what's going on, and you'll recognize that the Church of Jesus Christ, Hebrews says that this new covenant is better than the old covenant David had, Samuel had, that Barak had, that Joshua had, that all these incredible leaders Solomon had. They had the old covenant. We've got a new one, which is better. But I'm hard-pressed to find leaders as wise as Solomon, as courageous as David, as listening to the voice of God as Samuel, women who rise up and save nations like Esther. Where have all these great men and women gone? Oh, we're just walking through the world of woe. Down here, just a cabin. Up there's a mansion. And we're just trying to stay dumb till he comes and just stay out of the radar and just get through. Really, if we don't be careful, our kids are going to look back at us and just shake their heads at our lack of courage to get up and try to change a city, to change a nation, to keep freedom alive, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that our grandkids can continue that work. But if we sit around and do nothing, it only takes one generation that does nothing for the enemy. He's not stopping. Oh, you didn't think we had an enemy? Even Christians have told me, you know, I don't know if I believe in a devil, Leon. I said, well, really, well, I wonder what Eve was talking about when the enemy came through a serpent and talked to her. I guess Jesus was just daydreaming when he was led into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days, or taken to the top of the temple and told to jump by the devil to prove himself. I guess, like, we have become literally, if we're going to be followers of Christ, we can't be illiterate to the Bible. We need to know the Bible. We need to learn the Bible. And so our lives need to be led by the Spirit of God. Every one of you have gifts. Every one of you have callings. Every one of you are not called to just get by in this lifetime. You have been pre-gifted by God, and he's made a path ahead of you so that when you die, there'll be something you've left behind that will help the cause of Christ. There'll be something that you've done with such great purpose that the purpose won't be found because, you know, you've got your name on a gold plaque sitting on some tree in some... No, it will be because of the people, the things that have been done in your life. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and the daughters of God. They live in this family of hearing his voice and knowing their giftedness and using it, whatever they've got, to advance the cause of Christ. I had a guy knock on my door one time, and this religion would go door to door, and he'd try to engage you immediately in something that you'd agree with them on. And so, this is years ago, too, and he said, you know, I said, hi there, I'm so-and-so, and I was about to say, hey, dude, I'm busy. And he goes, isn't it awful, the violence that is taking place around the world? And I said, well, I guess it depends. What? All violence is evil and wrong. Oh, I said, so you're telling me that if a thief broke into your house and was going to steal your little girl, you wouldn't get violent? Then he started to stutter. I said, are you kidding me? That guy is done if he walks into my house and tries that. So you're trying to tell me we're going to just say, oh, Jesus bless you. God bless you. Are you kidding me? Like, we have such stupid doctrines in the religious side of Christianity. And so something within me said, I've got to make sure that here at Springs in these last 28 years that we can teach people how special you are, how amazing you are, how gifted you are, and that God has commanded the blessing on you. Religion wants to say God's commanded the mediocrity on you. No, he's commanded the blessing. And if the New Testament has a better covenant based on better promises than David's and Solomon's and Samuel's and Esther's and Ruth, then we better start raising some of them up. We better raise up prime ministers and billionaires who finance the kingdom of God and influencers in healthcare, making movies that sell hundreds of millions of dollars, so entertaining and exciting in arts and entertainment. Why do we have such a religious myopic view of what it is to be a Christian? If you've got kids, they've got different gifts. They've got different personalities. What are you going to tell them? Just attend church, carry a big 6-foot, 6-inch thick Bible, and you know, and one day when we get to heaven. No, down here is the playing field. Heaven is our retirement home, and it's fantastic. But this is where who we are and what's within us counts. Whether, whatever area, whatever you are called to. So this bit about, well, walk in love, Leon. I loved how this Christian psychologist took that on and began to talk about tough love. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So we think that love means you never disagree with somebody. Love means you just say, hi, God bless you. But the disciples went from city to city, and they walked into the main streets because they didn't have TV, radio, and social media. Where did you go with a message? You went to the concourses and the streets and the gates of the city, and you would share what the news was you had from another city or what was going on. And these disciples went from city to city, and they just shared, he's alive. Jesus rose again. You heard about this dude named Jesus? He's the Son of God. No, no, no. And whole cities were changed. Nations were changed as these people just took this gospel. And people would try to shut them down, try to kill them. I mean, and they did eventually kill most of the disciples, but not until they took the gospel to the then known world. And I want you to know that this kind of mamby-pamby, don't, you know, raise a stink, don't disagree with government. Don't disagree with government? Are you kidding me? So we are a democracy as never before. We are the government voting in who represents us. Like, what has happened to us to be influencers? We are to be salt and light as the followers of Christ, which means we're to be the predominant influencers in our world. Is that happening? No. Love values people, values them. But yet, Jesus said this repeatedly. He said, when you walk into a home, he's teaching his disciples how to spread the gospel. When you walk into a home as you're on this evangelistic tour, and he says, they say, peace be on this house. And if they accept your peace, stay in that house. And then he says, but if they reject you, your peace will return to you. And if they won't listen to you, here's what he says. Shake the dust off your feet and tell them it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than you. Okay, I just want to ask you, how does that fit into your lovey-dovey theology? Jesus said it. Now, we've got a theology that goes, well, you know, we just walk in love, and we just continue. Of course we do. One person, well, what about my unsaved son? Love him, reach him, stop preaching at him, hand him over to Christ, and go reach somebody else's son. You know, my dad had 5 boys, and we all weren't great and good. A couple of them didn't want to serve God. And my dad didn't sit in his bedroom praying for 15 years trying to get them to become saved. When he could, he loved them. When he could, he shared with them. He was there for them. He got up and reached everybody else's sons and daughters. He got up and shared from prisons to reserves to cities to wherever he could. He wasn't going to sit around fearfully marinating in, oh, I've got... No, he was out doing the things of God. And the people that he reached for Christ reached his sons for God who weren't serving him. We've got to make a decision. The church is not this weak, mamby-pamby group. So love is to value people. But love, who do we love first? God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
If I was to ask each individual person, what is the message of the cross? Most people would say something like, you know, to forgive our sins. And they would be like 1/100th right.
But if you stop there and you don't go with the rest of the message of the cross, you will live so unhappy, so filled with fear. You will be at the mercy of any new weird doctrine that comes along because you're so frantically wanting. Where do you find the power to live your life? Where do you find the passion to get up with a sense of joy, a sense of peace? It's not found with a bunch of new 43 keys, 27 points. It's not found with you having an epiphany. Oh, I never saw that before. It's found at the cross. And we've got to go back to the most basic message. And when your mind grasps the message of the cross, my friend, you will know peace.
And so this love isn't a weak love. I was speaking, I think it was Virginia Beach, but I was speaking in this city, had a big naval base there, and the Navy SEALs were trained at the city that I was in. And so I think it was like something like 12 to 17 of them came to the leadership conference that I was speaking at and took me out for lunch. And it was just an honor to meet these young men. And so I had a lot of questions for them. And as they're sitting there, I remember the guy sitting beside me, everyone's eating and chowing down. And so I looked at him and I just asked him this question. I said, so you told me that you're a Christ follower. Yep, I'm a Christian. I said, how do you handle going on missions that takes lives? And you should have seen him. You could tell he'd been asked that question a lot. And he snaps straight up in his chair and he turns to me and he says, I'm here to defend the United States of America and my family and my home and the freedoms that we can. I went, thank you. Agree. Like, when we understand that love isn't just allowing evil to destroy your children, your way of life. Just, well, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Okay, he's talking to arrogant, proud people. And he's saying, don't get so arrogant and proud that you're fighting over every dumb little thing people say and do. You know, words are going to come. He said, you're going to suffer like me. How did Jesus suffer? Well, he didn't suffer from sickness, disease, or beating, or poverty until he went to the cross. The suffering in context is that people didn't like him. Can you figure that out? People didn't like Jesus. Healed the sick, fed them, turned water into wine. You think that would help a few people? I mean, really? You don't like Jesus. You hate Jesus. And he said, they'll hate you too. So if you are going to be a Christian and you're going to rise up in business or in wherever area, and it's important to you that everybody like you, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. It's not important enough to me that you like me. People have found out I can't be manipulated as a senior pastor. If you don't do this, we're going to leave. Okay, I'll help you find another church. Because I'm going to answer to God one day as to what I've taught and how I've stood and what I've said and where we're going. And I love him first. So when it comes to the church, who are we? Well, first of all, you need to know you've got an enemy. Yes, a fallen angel. An arrogant, crazy, vindictive, hateful, fallen angel called the devil. And he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. Who says? Jesus said so. John 10:10. So that's our enemy. Our enemy is not people. However, I've got no problem stopping someone influenced by the enemy trying to steal my kid. You get what I'm saying? So then the Bible says faith, hope, and love. Well, let's talk about hope. Because here's where a lot of the church goes. Well, I'm just hoping and praying, Pastor. Oh, what's that supposed to do? Just hoping and praying. I mean, God's going to fight for me. Where do you get that from? Well, I mean, I heard it. Sounds good. I do nothing. God fights for me. I do nothing. God prospers me. I do nothing. No. If you're looking at Old Testament type, one time he gave somebody instructions like Gideon. Go to battle with a torch under a vase and a trumpet in one hand. Break the vase, let the torch be seen in the darkness of the night. Usually one division carried a torch and the rest had their hands on weapons. So when they blew the trumpet, 300 of them, they'd never have that many trumpets because you'd have an unclear sound. It looked like 300 divisions of armies were there, and then 300 torches all around them. I mean, this was wisdom from God, and they all killed each other off. That was great. But then at the same time, Barak was told by God, go into battle and protect my people and their children and their wives. At the same time, Solomon built an entire kingdom with wisdom. How is God going to lead you with your gifts and abilities individually by God? And they never would do anything unless God guided them. Moses said, I'm not going anywhere without your presence. So your presence better guide me or I'm going to do nothing. We don't just say, well, here's what I thought up and I'm going to do it this way. Because we got two ditches. We got one Christian group on one side of the ditch, and for every mile of road is 2 miles of ditch. And the group on one side are just pacifists and just everyone love us and like us and we're not going to do anything. And then on the other side, we got people who want to go grab guns and start shooting people. Are you kidding me? But somewhere in that middle sweet spot is the influential power of God flowing through a gifted church that rises up in politics, in healthcare, in the church, in education, in arts and entertainment. And there's enough gifting there to rise up and do stunning things to advance the gospel. It's interesting that we think the love of God is weak and mamby-pamby, but God is not that way. Let me read you a few verses and then let me explain them to you. John 36, those who believe in the Son have eternal life, but those who do not obey the Son will never have God's life. But the wrath of God remains on them. Oh, how does that fit into your doctrine? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to go to the world. But then in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And it goes on talking about how even people who don't believe in him, they know he's real deep inside. They can see him through nature. Well, Leon, the New Covenant, this is New Covenant. This is the book of Romans. How about 1 Thessalonians 1:10? To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's not talking about disobedient Christians. He's talking about the kingdom of darkness, those who have rejected Christ. This world that we live in, there's an assignment upon the followers of Christ to bring the gospel to the world in a powerful, confident, courageous way. In Revelation, it has a verse that has really become one of my favorites. It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But then he begins to explain the attributes of people without Christ. But the cowardly unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, they have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So everything that is labeled here as from the kingdom of darkness, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, it's talking about the opposite is true in the kingdom of God. That there's a courage, there's a strength, there's an anointing upon us to get up and live our lives. The Bible literally says when we begin to walk in the place God's prepared for us, the world will look at us and they will want what we have. It says blessed, it means happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And that is why, as the church, we should love the people, yes. We reach out to people, yes. But if, and even as Jesus was telling his disciples, okay, you're not getting anywhere, they're not listening to you, shake the dust off your feet, because there's thousands more in the valley of decision who would listen to somebody. Stop wasting your time there if this is where I'm called you to do. So being led by the Spirit of God is the key to your future. And I want to challenge you. I just pray, and as I'm wandering through some of these thoughts, that you have a new look at Jesus. He's not a long brown-haired guy with precious moments eyes and a dress with flip-flops going peace, peace. Revelation says he's the King of all kings. And it begins to explain what he looks like right now. So let's love God. Let's love our neighbors. Let's get up and bring this gospel to the world. Let's make sure that we use the gifts and the abilities. And let's not just sit around praying and hoping. Let's motive being love, hope being the goalpost, and let's believe God and start to act on that, training and equipping ourselves in business and arts, entertainment, education, whatever area God's called you to. Let's rise up and influence till the world sees how good God is and desires the real truth about following Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, but you're listening to this, and you say, I don't know if I even know or am a Christian, just right now say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I choose you, and I choose to follow you. I'm going to get to know you better. I'm going to learn your word better. But right now, I just choose you, and I'm asking you to come into my heart. I believe on you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that prayer and keep following us. Let us know you made this decision. And together we're going to help you rise up to an overcoming, amazing life of walking by faith.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.